Welcome to the Electra International series, Think Like a Leader. We all enjoy hearing another person's success story, and we hope our conversations with leaders from across the electrical construction industry will help spark your interest and creativity in finding ways you can think like a leader. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're here with Brian Morales. And Brian Morales has one word that lots of people use when they describe him, and that word is entrepreneur. So we are going to hear all about how Brian founded and is now CEO of ProCal Lighting in California. They've grown quickly. They've grown significantly, and we're going to let him tell you all about it. So, Brian, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Caroline. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the business.
When I read about or hear about ProCal Lighting, you all pride yourself on serving California by bringing to each project expertise in engineering and design and installation. Now, when you founded the firm back in 2014 with two employees at that time, what were your expectations for this new company?
You know, I got into business just wanting to make sure I paid my bills. I don't think I had too much of an expectation to it growing to the size it is now. But I think that the reason why we have grown tremendously is because of that initial desire to be a full turnkey company. And so when you mentioned about the engineering and construction, that really was our desire, was to be the specialist on every part and element in a construction project. And holding all those keys really allows us to be really excellent at what we're doing.
Now, today you have about 50 employees. Is that correct?
Yeah, and growing. I think in 2019, we got over to 100. During the pandemic, we cut in half. And then now we're on a ramp up again. So I'm happy to say we're probably closer to 70 now.
So would you say that your growth plan is on target?
You know, with as much hurdles as we get, it is on target. I think you got to take the good with the bad. So the bad years in which we missed revenue goals, we're fortunate to see, you know, years following turn that tide. And so I would say, yes, we're still on our projection and I'm very optimistic about the company.
How do you project to your ProCal colleagues the leadership that each of them needs to have in order to keep the firm successful and growing? What is it that you have to do to make sure that they understand the growth and their role in it?
Yeah, I think the first part of it would be to lead by example. And when we started growing pretty fast and we started placing leaders within the company and more management within the company, we invested quite a bit in making sure that they understood all the soft skills needed and all the other elements that could go along with managing employees and managing the company. So it started with myself, you know, participating in different groups, in different peer groups, different training sessions, reading a lot of books about how to be a good boss. And so when I found those elements that worked really well for me and seemed to fit our culture within the company, I made sure I integrated my executive team into that same type of classwork. So I have my VPs part of peer groups and that read consistently books to help them become more empathetic and more trained in hiring and those kind of things that are important for management. But we don't spare really any cost when it comes to getting them to understand how to be better at what they do. And then we talk about it constantly. So we have meetings every other Friday in which part of that meeting is just discussing how we can specialize in being better bosses, being better leaders, and being more focused on leading from the back instead of the front. And so when we talk through those discussions, it really helps us tremendously to become better. And then that goes all the way to understanding how to communicate. So we've gone through a couple of classes collectively to understand how do we communicate with our different employees, because they all have different personalities and drives and desires. So we're training on those elements too, to make sure that we're not just seeing kind of a black and white on how to become a good boss, but rather it's adaptable. You got to make sure that you're able to see the individual and help lead them to be successful and make the company successful.
Now,
In your descriptive materials, you talk about your company as a minority business enterprise and a small business enterprise. Can you explain to our audience the distinction and what those two things mean and what they mean in terms of being a leader of a company?
So the small business designation is one that usually is reserved for either employee count or revenue. And we have more small businesses in the country than we do have large businesses, obviously, the dominant force to the economics in the nation. And so we have quite a good representation of small businesses. What the minority and disadvantaged designation gives is within either small business or large business, there is a set aside for those who are perhaps deemed disadvantaged. And that might come from, you know, areas or territories in which there's not a lot of wealth or opportunity. And then other times it might be just the given minority of the ownership has created hurdles that maybe other owners wouldn't have. And so the federal government has these designations, state governments and local governments all have these designations. And ProCal has always been really bullish about getting these. We make sure that we're established. And because of the trend of things, we find that having those certifications early on has helped us tremendously with our growth.
Now, as you have grown the company over the past years, 8 years, 9 years, has your leadership style and purpose changed from what it was when you founded the firm in terms of the way you're running the company?
Oh, 100%.
Do you recognize yourself if you look back at Brian at the beginning?
Yeah, not at all. No, every year I become a different leader. And it's a good thing. I think every year I learn. Every year I learn the hard way sometimes. And I learn from different business leaders, from different colleagues. So every year I become a different leader and I learn from past mistakes. And so I'm happy where I'm at now, but I know that there's a lot more to learn.
Going back for just a second to the concept of minority, does that create difficulties in terms of attracting and retaining well-qualified staff members? Like, oh, I don't want to be part of a minority company. Is that something, as wrong as that is that something that happens that you all have to overcome?
No, not at all. On the contrary, I think people are excited to be a part of a minority company. We try to market ourselves and communicate to potential hires what we're about. We are a diverse group. We have a diverse employeeship. So we enjoy that. We make sure that everybody feels comfortable. Matter of fact, one of our key culture points is that we want everybody to feel safe here. We want everybody to have a sense that they can thrive here, no matter of their sex or their ethnicity. We really communicate that. And I think the potential hires enjoy that. They want to work for a company like that.
When you are going out and bidding on projects and making yourself known as the company to hire in California, you're going up against some of the much larger, very well-established companies, obviously. So what leadership skills do you have to make sure that you're bringing to the table to prove your readiness to take on large projects throughout California?
So you have to be knowledgeable. I think one of the things that always is at a disadvantage for small businesses going up against big business is experience, right? Experience and knowledge around how they might do business on a large project, multiple trades, high stakes type projects. So what we've done really well with is take advantage of a lot of the training programs that some of the bigger contractors have enabled us to participate in. So things that like Clark Construction or Turner Construction or AECOM, all those larger general contractors have programs to help small businesses get into these larger projects. And it's to their advantage because they have more bidders, right? They want to see more bidders on these projects so they can ensure that they have good competitive pricing. But then also they have some flexibility in terms of who they're contracting with. So starting off with kind of understanding the client and knowing what their expectation is, and then communicating that to our team. A lot of our project managers are skilled and know a lot about project management, but some are still lower level and can really only do private level projects, smaller projects. So we make sure that we match the project manager with the right customer. But it starts with understanding the expectation. If you don't understand the expectation, the money might look good, the project might look good, but you're going to fail without knowing that expectation.
Does ProCal Lighting take as much time in terms of attracting and retaining people that are going to work inside the office as opposed to those that are going to be out in the field completing the project for you?
Yeah, we're consistently looking for new talent. And I think it's always something that we need to work on and develop better system with. But we lean on NECA heavily. We lean on, you know, local chambers and local organizations to help us find really good talent. We've participated with universities in the areas that we have our offices. And I'll tell you, I think there's no one perfect method or means to find good talent. You could find somebody as a word of mouth and they're amazing. You could find somebody who's coming through the academic system and seems to have everything lined up and has experience and they just don't quite fit the culture. So I think it's just a constant search and a constant, you know, work to find good talent. Communicating who we are is really all we can do. I mean, we're not really trying to sell a better place to work. We're trying to sell who we are. We're telling everybody, this is who we are. And if you like who we are, you know, come work with us. We're not trying to provide ping pong tables. I think we're a group of hard workers. We're a group of people who are deeply concerned with our client and our client satisfaction. And so those are the type of talent that we want to recruit, is people who work hard and do it for our client.
When you think about your own workday and planning out what you are going to be doing for the next week, the quarter, the year, whatever, how do you make sure that you are working on the business, not just in the business?
Yeah. And that's really hard, I think, for people like myself who've grown up in the trade. So I went through the apprenticeship. I became an electrician myself. I got into project management and then from project management started my business. There's always a lot of times I feel like I could get it done myself, save some money, or I just like doing it myself because I know it's getting done right. The problem with that is that you tremendously cut off your company and create limits by doing that. And so I constantly have to remind myself that my position is not in doing the, I want to say menial things, but the technical things or the administrative things. It needs to be in the vision, needs to be in the growth, it needs to be in the developing leaders. And I find myself occasionally wanting to throw on my boots or wanting to get into a project and really be the main point of contact for a client. But it's so time consuming that you realize quickly it's not the right place for the owner to be. It's not the right place for executives to be. We have to develop those leaders. And if you're not developing the leaders now, then what happens is your 2-year, 3-year, 4-year plan is not going to happen because even though you have the clients, you won't have the ability to service them. You won't have the ability to manage those projects unless you're working on developing leaders now.
When you think about looking out and forward 2, 3, 4 years, everybody can create a list of challenges. We all know that there are challenges facing every business, every industry, every individual. What challenges get Brian's attention?
Mm-hmm. Being the owner of a company is challenging in that you are responsible for the people who work for you and in different ways. Well, for their safety, I think a lot of owners understand that. But also, you have people living their lives, they're spending most of their time working for you, and they're doing things that would help you grow. You have to make sure that you're considering the paths and the direction that you're taking the company. You're considering how they would feel about it and how they would take it on, whether that would help them grow, whether that would give them better opportunity in their careers. So being able to have a consideration toward my employees is always a struggle in that all my employees are different. And so what works for one doesn't work for another. What helps the company doesn't necessarily help the employees. So I do a lot of sleepless nights just mulling over what's the best thing to do. And I think that's for any business owner. There's a thin line between money only and taking care of your employees. And they don't have to be opposing each other. So there is an opportunity to make money and care for your employees. But it's usually a very strategic thing that has to be decided to do that. And so just thinking along those lines and what needs to happen for ProCal to be able to be that type of company.
Do you involve, maybe not all, but do you involve your top employees in the thinking process and in the decision-making process? Listen, we thought we were going to be able to focus on X, but we really need to spend more time and shift our gears and work on Y and Z instead. Is that something that you're doing alone and telling them, or is it a team effort?
It's a team effort in me telling them. What I have in mind is, you know, as I develop my vision or develop the ideas of where ProCal would go and how we would venture into different markets, I'm asking questions constantly, or I'm talking about different opportunities. And what I love to do, and I think it's suggested, is surround yourself with people who would ask questions, who would challenge your vision. And although, you know, at the moment, it just seems kind of like this killjoy, or it seems like, you know, they're pessimistic. It really does develop a more strategic plan around, you know, what you hope to do. And so when I discuss with my employees, and usually it's the more top executives that I'm talking with, and they have their hands and eyes on the different elements within the company, so they can kind of speak to how everybody else is feeling. You know, I talk to them about these visions and then field their questions and discuss their concerns. And then usually after quite a bit of doing that, I come back to the table and say, okay, this is what we're doing. And some are happy and some aren't, but it's worked so far.
Now, your company is a very active member of the Electric Council, and we thank you for that financial and time commitment. And you also speak about the importance of social capitalism. What does social capitalism mean to you and your company?
Yeah, so our purpose for this company is to provide the light so you can shine. The idea is that we're developing a company that is affecting others around us. We're changing our communities to be better places. And so one, the participation in Electric helps us to understand where the industry is going and then how to better leverage the industry and our knowledge to affect it in a positive way, to make sure that we're not just building buildings and pulling wire, but rather we're doing something that's going to change the elements of our society to help us grow as a nation. So I'm excited because whenever I am in an Electric meeting or an Electric workshop, we're talking on those lines. We're talking about what's going to happen next and how is it going to help our society? How is it going to help our kids? Which is really what we're looking to do, is how do we come into a community and change that community? And so our social capitalism is kind of that same mentality around capitalism itself, right? If we're going to be in a particular spot, how do we really maximize that position? And so when we are doing a school district within an area that we're not familiar with, how are we affecting that community? How are we being a positive company within that community? How are we in the areas in which our headquarters are at or our offices are at? How are we participating in creating better communities there? Not just by providing jobs, but are we volunteering? Are we developing resources that the community can grow from? That's the lasting thing. And I think back to some of the earlier questions, that's how we retain talent. A lot of people nowadays are not just concerned with their pay, not just concerned with the office environment, but that they're doing something that's lasting. And so when we created the company and knew that, hey, it's not as simple as just pulling wire and throwing up lights, there's something else we can do that can make our company that much more effective in creating a change in the world, we wanted to be very purposeful about that. So we have a whole committee we call the Shine Committee that just focuses on really giving back to our community and changing it in a positive way.
When you think about Electric International and its portfolio of research and education programs, what are some of the things that you really hope they will address and take on as initiatives? Are there specific topics that you want them to take on over the next several years in order to improve the industry so that the industry in turn can improve their own culture and the communities that they are serving, similar to what you're already doing now in your own company way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Electric is poised to have a great position in leading and helping electrical contractors understand that we are no longer in just the build industry. We're very much a service platform. We're very much in everybody's normal activity, family activity. I mean, we're touching so many aspects of that. And to just be the installer is great, but because the electrification of really everything is driving the need for this participation in customizing these things, we really need to learn more about how can electrical contractors become service providers? How can they become these, you know, liaisons between the technology and the use, and create a bridge between the two. I think electrical contractors are really going to be the next tech companies of the world, because we're the interface. We're the interface between the two.
When you are at the council, what do you and your colleagues from ProCal, what do you bring to the Electric Council?
You know, a big part of it is just new ideas and different ideas. Because the Electri has members all over the nation and even all over the world, we see that there's experiences from different cultures and different developed areas and success stories and stories that can have some really good lessons learned. And so part of those meetings really help develop that quick learning of like, I don't have to do things the hard way. I can really learn from somebody else and what next steps I need to take. So when I come to those meetings, it's the same thing. These are some of the things I've experienced myself. I am very much a out of the box thinker. So I tend to jump in the pool before the pool's filled up. So yeah, I definitely have a lot of lessons learned to share. Right. And that's how I like to lead my businesses. I like to be an entrepreneur. But if I can help another company not learn the lessons the hard way, like I did, we're in a better place. And I hope they would think the same thing.
A lot of times when people are describing others whom they look at and say, oh, yeah, he's a good leader, you'll hear the expression, he's a born leader. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. What's the best advice that you have ever received that helps you to be the leader that you are today?
Well, we hear a lot about servant leadership, and I think that is a great thought to be a servant leader. But I think that the term and even the books written about it, it really doesn't speak to everything a leader needs to be. What is known is that a great leader is someone who can collectively gain from the experiences of the people around them, build up that team, and then bring the whole team with them to success. But I think that you have to be adaptable. I think that's what a good leader is someone who's adaptable, who can change, who's humble. One of the key things I think when we look to hire is this person humble? Are they hungry? And are they smart? Those three things really are super easy to create good leadership, because if you're humble, you're allowed to learn some lessons and look upon yourself and say, what do I need to change to be able to help move this group into the next phase? Hungry is one of those things that if you're not desiring to be better, you're probably too complacent. You're not going to develop new techniques. And then you got to be smart. And the idea behind that is, you know, education is not a thing. Skills, not a thing. There's a common sense to things. And that's probably what we're born with, where you just can say, this is not a good idea. And we shouldn't move forward on this. You have to have that common sense. You have to be smart at that way. Street smart, I would say.
So, Brian, we really appreciate your time. Is there anything that we haven't talked about, but that you want to make sure we do have a chance to share with our listeners?
You know, just in speaking about leadership, I would say this. Leaders don't give up. When you are developing your own company or working on your company that has been around for a long time, I think what I've learned is that no one has cornered the market on leadership. They're continually learning. They're continually developing. And I enjoy that about the industry. We all have a lot to learn from each other. So I love the idea behind this podcast and the sharing, but truly the idea is that no one's going to be teaching anybody anything because they're an expert. We're all learning from each other on how to be a better leader. And what's great from this is that we're just able to share experiences that we haven't experienced yet. So I hope that through this, I've been able to share some knowledge and I can help promote somebody to be a better leader through just listening here and not having to learn the hard way.
Well, Brian, even in our brief time together today, it is quite clear that you have provided the light so that others can shine and will shine. We appreciate your time. And we appreciate having you involved with Electri International. It's very important to have companies of every size, every stripe, every location, every part of the world. And you are part of that dynamic, and we appreciate it. And to our audience, thank you very much for tuning in again to Electri International's Think Like a Leader. there are many, many, many conversations available to you. Not all of them are going to be with small companies. Some are with industry partners. Some are with chapter leaders. So we hope you'll take the time to go and find them at electri.org. Thanks very much for being with us today. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for today's Think Like a Leader conversation. You can access every interview in this series on our website, electri.org, or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This is a remarkable look inside the electrical construction industry, and it's yours for the listening.